Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11 in your Bible. It is called the faith chapter. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13 is called the love chapter. It's all about the love of God. But Hebrews chapter 11 is distinctively all about faith. It begins by saying, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For we see that the things that we see were not made with anything that we can see. Hallelujah. But yet they exist. Praise God. Said through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed or formed by the word of God himself. I believe absolutely in the Big Bang theory. I don't even believe it's a theory. I believe it actually happened. I believe when God said, let there be a firmament, bang, there was a firmament. So there's no conflict with me over that. Now, the problem with the Big Bang Theory is that it just happened without anyone making it happen. Dr. Wernher von Braun, known as the father of rocket science, we got people on the moon today, and one day probably headed, we already got a ship that went to Mars and sent down a rover on Mars to look around and take soil samples and send back messages from Mars. My stars, how does Mars make such wonderful candy bars? That's the only thing I knew about the Mars Candy Company. I know nothing about the planet. Amen. I wasn't paying attention in high school in my classes. I was too busy chasing women, or a woman, I should say. Hallelujah. And I caught her. We've just celebrated 51 years, our last anniversary, working on 52 now. Praise God. On our 60th anniversary. What is the 60th anyway? What have I got to buy when it gets to 60? I mean, you know, you got the wood one, you got the silver one, you got the gold one. I think 50 is a golden anniversary. Oh, Lord, it's probably the diamond anniversary. Amen. If we get to see it. I'm not talking about stay married. I'm talking about if we're still here and not with the Lord. Oh, well, by the way, you may not still be here either. He may come, even if you're young. But God is so good today. Through faith we understand. That's just an incredible statement in Hebrews chapter 11. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed or formed by the word of God. Through faith we understand. It doesn't mean that you check your mind at the door. It means you just don't depend on your intelligence to figure out things that are so much bigger than the scientific mind. Amen? They're finding out now the universe is bigger than they thought it was. It's way bigger than they thought it was. And they're just now discovering that, you know, this is beyond anything we can conceive, anything that we can in any way comprehend. And man has a problem in his ego and pride admitting that there are things that he can't figure out. Amen. That's why, and there's some questions that are easy to answer. Because some questions the Bible doesn't give a specific answer to, believe it or not. And when those questions come up to me, I quote a scripture. Amen. The secret things belong to God. Well, what are those secret things? Well, they wouldn't be a secret if you knew it. Amen? They're those things that I believe one of two reasons God doesn't talk to us about it. Number one, if he told you, you wouldn't be able to grasp it. It's beyond you. You know what he said about his ways? He said, my ways are higher than your way. Somebody say, there you go, Brother Taylor. I can count on Brother Taylor. He knows where I'm going next. Amen. How high? I'm glad you asked. He said, my ways are higher than your ways. How high? As high as the heavens, not just the heaven that we can see, but the heavens, the galaxies, the universe, whatever's all the way out there. He said, my ways and your ways, that's how much higher. If you don't use faith when you read this book, you're not going to get this book. You just can't get it. Amen. You've got to believe that God is able to do everything that he promised, everything that he's purposed, or he wouldn't be God. Somebody said, Brother Vimble, you believe that story? They've been talking about it for years, you know, about that guy that was in a whale's belly. Well, number one, it said God prepared a fish. Didn't say it was a whale. Actually, some Bible scholars now, they've found some great white sharks with a mouth so big that a 5'6" man, my height, I know you thought I was taller, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm 5'6" with my shoes on. And they, and I'm beginning to kind of, I was 5'7". But I'm going on 68, so you settle, your bones begin to settle. Amen. So they showed a picture of a 5'6" man standing. They had killed one of the biggest great white sharks, and he was standing in the mouth that was pulled wide open. He could stand up in the mouth of that shark. In other words, in the area that Jonah was, it's not known for whale traffic, but it is known for great white shark traffic. I don't know if it's a whale, great white shark. It really doesn't matter. You know what matters? Man's trying to figure it out. If he can't figure it out, it can't happen. And there's a lot of things that can happen that you can't figure out. There's a lot of things you're using that you don't understand. But it don't stop you from using it. I don't understand how a microwave cooks my tater. I know what you say, potato. I say potato. You say tomato, I say tomato. You say a vase, and I say a vase. You say my aunt, and I say my aunt. I'm from Kentucky. Hallelujah. We try to figure things. I don't know how a microwave. Remember when microwave first come out? Anybody remember? My mother had a pacemaker. She was afraid it would stop her heart. She stood, and it could possibly. I don't know these things. She stood way back when that microwave come on. We didn't know about those things. You know, all we know is you put it in there. 5.5 minutes later, you got a potato that's cooked. We don't say, you know, I can't use this thing because I can't figure it out. I don't know all of the stuff that's in there. I don't get it. No, you push the button. You don't think about that. You know why? Because you're doing it by faith that somebody who made the thing does know. Isn't it right? Somebody that made the thing knows. So therefore, you don't need to know and you don't have to know to use it. Amen? Do you know how an internal combustible engine works? The engine in your car that runs with gasoline? Do you know all the physics of that and the ins and outs and the science of that? No. Does it keep you from getting in that big old double-clutch and E-flat truck of yours? Can you say, man, sucking that gas down? When she cranked that truck up, you're waiting to hear an engine sound. All you hear is... Because she's heavy-footed anyway. What's that shoe you wear? 10. I knew it. That thing hit that accelerator, that truck go. Just watch that gas gauge go down. Amen. I don't even need a haircut. She said, I want to cut your hair. I got to buy gas for my truck. She'd cut your hair if you'd let her. Amen. You don't have to understand. You don't think about it. Because you know that somebody who did know took care of all of that. Praise God. And you get the benefit of it. Through faith, we understand what the mind cannot comprehend. See, there's a scripture that said we walk by sight and not by faith. We walk by sight. No, there's a scripture that says we walk by faith and not by sight. And there's a scripture that said, we don't look at the things which are seen, for they are temporal. Literally in the Greek, it means they are subject to change. That everything in this world is in a state of flux. You know what diamonds are? What they used to be before they changed pressure over thousands of years on coal, turned coal into one of the hardest stones and the most valuable that there is. You know, when they cut diamonds, it takes a diamond to cut a diamond because nothing else is hard enough to cut it. That's incredible. That's incredible. It's hard for the mind to comprehend. And when you go to the Bible trying to understand it with the finite mind, an infinite God with infinite wisdom whose ways are above our ways, as far as the heavens are above the earth, it's going to require some faith. And when faith comes alive within us, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Hallelujah. I love kids' honesty. I keep telling their stories. I tell them too much, I guess. But I love the story of a teacher trying to get the kids to quit believing in the myths of the Bible, turning the Word of God into fables instead of facts, because the finite mind cannot comprehend God. Therefore, if we can't comprehend God, then we can't comprehend all the things the Bible is telling us that God did. We want God to come down on our level and explain it to us on our level. Well, He's not on our level. Can you say, man? We're supposed to begin to climb up a little bit and get more on His level. We'll never be all the way there. Secret things belong to the Lord. If you're looking for a reason not to believe, you're going to find a reason. Amen. If you're in a marriage, you want out of it. That's the sorriest man that ever lived. I can't stand another minute with him. If you want out, that's the sorriest woman. If you want out, but if you want it to work, you stick through it. You pray through it. Amen. If you want it to work, God's not going to do anything for you that you really don't want done. The Bible literally said an unbeliever seeks for a sign. Show me. I want to see it with my eye because I can't accept it any other way. You know, right now they have discovered in microbiology and just all of the micro science, they've discovered things that they know exist, but they can't see it. They can't see it. But they know it exists. Somehow they've worked out a scientific formula that said it's got to be there. But the most powerful microscope in the world can't detect it. So the human eye can't look at it. But we know it's there. Well, how you know it's there? Because it's got to be there. And we know it's there. One thing I learned in science, I learned something about nuclear fission when I was paying attention in the science class. Amen. How inside an atom, there's this little energy ball, look like a little mini sun inside this microscope, inside the atom. And they couldn't see it at first, but they knew that it exists. And when they finally kept looking for it, they found it. But there are things they can't find. A human cell is one of the great testimonies now in science to the existence of a divine creator. Because it's a little engine in itself. And it's declaring, not only are the heavens declaring God, the heavens are declaring. It's too complex, it's too precise to just happen. Dr. Wernher von Braun, the father of modern rocket science, who began it all, you know what he said? He said, there's one thing that is absolutely true in all science. Nothing comes from nothing. Amen. Remember the song? Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You gotta have something. Well, over thousands of years, something came from nothing, which science says can't happen. And this is the theory of evolution. The basis for the theory of evolution is something came from nothing. And yet, science refutes that. You got to have something for something to evolve from. Well, a one-celled amoeba appeared in the ocean. And the question is, where did it come from? It didn't come from anywhere. That's not good science. Can you say, man, it takes more faith to believe that nothing came from nothing than that something came from something. So we're not talking about a theory of creation. We're talking about a fact of creation. How can you believe the Bible? The teacher says, you believe this stuff that's in the Bible. How can you believe that? She said to a young man sitting there that had been to Sunday school and he believed that the Bible was true. And the teacher says, you know, they've now discovered that God didn't part the Red Sea. There was a great wind that day that pushed the waters back and allowed them to cross in knee-deep water. So it was no big deal. Little boy pops up out of his seat and said, the miracle is greater than I thought it was then. Because God destroyed Pharaoh, his chariots, his horses, and his whole army in knee-deep water. Amen. See, when you believe the Word of God, and you're not looking for a reason not to believe, you know why people don't want to believe? Because the day you believe, you realize that you have to account to somebody someday. It's appointed unto man once to die, and here's the part people would rather not deal with. And after that, the judgment. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's a judgment to come. You wouldn't know it to listen to the modern day post-modern church. But there's a judgment coming. There's a judgment coming. And that message has been lost. And sinners are not afraid to live their life in opposition to God. But that day is coming, whether you believe it or not. You don't have to believe in the law of gravity for the law to work. You know, you don't have to buy into that. You can say, I do not believe the law of gravity. I don't believe it at all. And you can go up into the Sears Tower and jump off screaming, I do not believe in the law of gravity. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. When you hit the ground, you'll be a believer. It won't be for long. Can you say amen? In fact, you might start believing on the way down. You heard about the optimist that jumped off, the extreme optimist jumped off the Sears Tower. Halfway down the window washing, heard him holler, so far so good. Amen. You can't live your life pushing back against truth. But if you don't want to account to God, how do you discount God? You discredit God. Say there is no God. Nobody can prove him. Nobody has to. Hallelujah. Nobody has to prove him. But the heavens declare his handiwork, the firmament his handiwork. And so now microscience is doing the same thing. One Christian microbiologist, he said, my peers cannot deny that what we're seeing in the mechanism of one cell of the human body, the more we get down into microscience and microbiology, that there is an engine, there's a living thing here that man can't create. And everything in microbiology screams intelligent design. This didn't just happen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Through faith, we understand what the human mind wants to argue against. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Brother Venable, don't you believe that if a fish swallowed a man, the gastric, come on, stop it. Just stop it. Just stop it. How many have ever went across the Sunshine Skyway Bridge? How many got out of your car and checked the pilings to see if they would support you? Did you get out of your car? No. Did you slow down? No. Did you worry about it? You mean, do you understand the architecture? Yes, she worries about it because it's a long stretch of bridge and it's a lot of water and it's a long way down. But you don't let that slow you down. You tell me you can't believe. No, there's no such thing as can't believe. There's I won't believe, and there's a reason for not believing. And the reason for not believing is we don't want to account. Amen. Man thinks he never has to account to anyone. If he gets by with the laws of the land, he never has to account. The Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, there's accountability. I don't want to stand before a holy God that I've sinned against and have to give an account. Because no excuse will do, because God is offering me salvation through Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? That's what he's offering me. I've talked to Christians for 41 years. 41 years. You know what it said about your faith? It said faith without works, which means corresponding actions, is dead. How dead is it? Graveyard dead. Can you say amen? It's dead. It can do you no good. It does God no good. And without it, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Because by grace you are saved through faith. He's not asking you to walk on the water to please him. He's asking you to come to Jesus Christ and have your sins forgiven and your life changed. Hallelujah. By grace you are saved through faith. It's the gift of God. Hallelujah. But it's received through faith. Faith honors God. Say it with me. Faith honors God. And that's why God honors faith. Abraham staggered not, the scripture said, at the promise of God. But he was strong in faith. And what happened at that moment? Giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We used to say, if you're saved and you know it, say amen. Amen. Well, we need to amen that into our life. We need to start walking it out. Don't live like a pauper when God has made you kings and priests unto God. I'm not talking about your financial wealth. I'm talking about your trusting God for everything in your life. Is he able? Then let's give him credit for that. Do you have an expectation? Do you have a hope? The Bible said the things that were written aforetime that we're reading this morning was written for our learning. That through the patience and the comfort of the scripture that we might have hope. Hope biblically defined is the glad anticipation of future good. I'm not just talking about heaven to come, but I'm talking about tomorrow and the next day and next month and next year. I don't know about you, but I believe good is coming my way because God is good. Hallelujah. And all things are working together because of his superseding sovereign power. Everything is working together for good. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the highest good of all. That means even when you go through the valley, if it causes you to trust more in God and humbles you more like Jesus to depend on God, then good is going to come when you come up out of that valley. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Some of you here today are sad sacks. Sad sacks every Sunday. You live your life in a state of sadness because there's no faith that God is listening, that God will hear, that God will answer. And you're looking to the arm of flesh. And the Bible said back in the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, cursed be the man who trusts in man. Cursed instead of blessed. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. He shall be like the heath in the desert. It's kind of like a tumbleweed. It's an old, dried up, fruitless, unflowering plant that inhabits, the scripture said, the parched places of the earth. But blessed. What do you want today? You want to live under that curse of unbelief and doubt and fear? Or you want the blessing of hope and faith? Amen. You're under the curse of the blessing. Blessed is the man who whose hope the Lord is, who trust in the Lord, he'll be like a tree planted by a river and will not see when the drought comes. You won't even know whether it rains or not because your roots are in the river. And the river don't dry up. There was a man that just passed away, 51 years old. He was an MMA fighter in the heavyweight division. He was a health nut. He worked out every day. He had arms that looked like Schwarzenegger's. Honestly, if you see his picture on the net, he was in three of the Harry Potter movies, played some kind of vampire guy or something. He was so big and imposing. He went hiking near Death Valley in the summer. A couple of days ago, two hikers found this ripped up, muscled, strong, vitamin-eaten man. And you know what they said he died from? Heat stroke. He just got too hot out there. And it don't matter how big your biceps are. If you're living in that kind of heat and that kind of absolute dryness. They made a movie some years ago and they made it in a desert place in the Middle East. And people were not even thirsty, but they were dehydrating without feeling thirst. The director was told by an on-scene physician, stop filming. It takes a lot of money when they shut everything down. Stop filming. He was watching his watch. He was looking at the time that he knew that the human body in that kind of heat and that kind of lack of humidity needed hydration. Stop filming. And the director said, cut. And they passed out bottles of water and he said, we will not start filming again until you drink it all. But I'm not really thirsty. It doesn't matter. See, that's what's wrong in church. A lot of people are not even thirsty. They're not even thirsty. They're not even thirsty. Any little thing will keep them away from God's word that is your food for your soul. Amen. We're not thirsty. We're not hungry. Amen. It was quoted today, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. People are drying up spiritually because they're not thirsty. They're not hungry. And we're filling that place that God wants to fill with the things of the world. We're unhappy, dissatisfied, disenchanted, and discouraged. And our faith is deader than a doornail. We don't believe God's going to answer, so why bother praying anymore? We don't believe God's going to bless us because we haven't seen it. We're not using our faith at all. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness? Those people he brought out to bring in Psalm 78, 40 and 41. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness? See how without faith you can't please him? Did he want them to look like a bunch of orphans that God had forsaken? Or did he want them to go into Canaan and represent his blessing and his watch care? What was happening to them reflected on him. Are these a bunch of wandering sheep that has no shepherd? Or is there a great shepherd God, as David talked about? Can you say, man? Hallelujah. He said, you can't bring me no glory until you get into my purpose for you. And my purpose is to bless you in a land of milk and honey. Everybody say milk and honey. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why couldn't they go over into that land? They sent spies into the land and they said, we saw cities walled up to heaven. We saw giants, the sons of Anak. And we saw fierce armies. And we were as grasshoppers before them. And listen to this real careful. And so were we in their sight. When you see yourself that way, your enemy looks at you that way. And so were we, the way we saw ourselves, they didn't see themselves as God's mighty army with God's anointing and God's blessing. The God that brought them out of Egypt could have took them into Canaan. Those armies were not greater than the Egyptians that God destroyed to get them out. And you know what the Bible said of those spies that came back? Our brethren hath discouraged our hearts with that saying. But Joshua and Caleb went with them, saw everything that they saw, but they looked through the eye of faith. They came back seeing everything that they saw, every barrier to the blessing, every threat to them. But their eye was on the Lord. And they came back, and you know what their report was? Let's go up at once and possess the land, for we are well able. We're what? How long will you be slack? Remember last week? To go over and possess the land that the Lord thy God hath given you. It's not God's unfaithfulness. It's our slackness. It's not God is refusing to move. It's our lack of hunger and thirst for Him. You get hungry for Him. What do you do when you get hungry and thirsty? What do? You go hunting some food. Come on, the Golden Corral is getting ready. Now, and they better be ready because the Baptists are there and the Methodists are on their way. Can you say, man, it's hard to get in after church. Amen? Yes, they're there. Well, not that Baptist church. That's a different kind of Baptist church. They're going home when we go home. And I say, what are they doing for so long? Anyway. You get hungry and thirsty. As the heart panteth after the water brooks. No matter what he's doing, when that young deer gets thirsty, he knows his life depends on getting hydration, getting water. And he stops and he begins to sniff the air for the smell of water. And when he smells it, he begins to make his way toward it. Because he knows if he don't find water, he will die. The Church of Jesus Christ hasn't figured it out yet. We think we can lose our spiritual appetite. We can lose our spiritual thirst. We can sit home and watch everything in the world, listen to everything in the world on the radio, pop into church on Sunday if it's convenient for us. It has to be convenient because there's no real commitment, because we don't see the value of His worship and we don't see the value of His Word. We don't see the value of fellowshipping one another. It's something we take or leave. We're undisciplined. We listened to that on the way to church, didn't we, Sister Pamela? We're undisciplined. Our flesh is weak, and we let it rule. But our spirit is strong, and God wants to stir it today. Hallelujah. Like a breath from heaven. Hallelujah. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed, formed by the Word of God. While we look not at the things which are seen, for they are temporal, we look at the things which are unseen, for they are eternal. How many here believe you're going to heaven today? All right. How many of you have ever been there or seen the place? You haven't been there, you haven't seen it, but you believe you're going there? There must be some faith down on the inside of you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many's crossed the Skyway before? You ever been across the Sunshine Skyway? Did you get out the architectural drawings from somewhere in the city that granted the permits and go over them? If you did, you wouldn't know what you were eating. Amen? I don't think there's an architect in here. You'd have to be an architect to understand it. You'd have to be a contractor. How about an airplane? The law of aerodynamics. What an incredible law. You get up to a certain airspeed and it creates this underneath the wing that gives it lift. It's crazy, but it works. Get under that airspeed, it drops out of the sky. Has anybody ever took a trip on an aeroplane? Do you understand completely so that you could write a thesis on the law of aerodynamics? You mean you're going to go 5 miles high at 500 miles an hour and you don't understand the whole thing? Faith. How many's ever known the pilot personally that's driving the sucker? Do you know him? Did you know in Japan a guy got all depressed? He decided to crash it with everybody in it. It might have happened to that one that's missing. They just don't know. But you don't know that guy. You don't know him from Adam's house cat. But you crawl in there and you buckle up and you head off into the wild blue yonder. Oh, you... What happened? Did you get some turbulence? Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Amen. You know what that means? That means that we have the ability to believe what we don't perceive. But if we don't use it when we come to the Word of God, faith without corresponding actions is dead being alone. You say you have faith. Amen. You can say it. You can talk it. I have talked to people that their life was messed up. Their family was messed up. Their body is messed up. Their kids, everything is messed up. And you go to pray for them. And I say, do you believe God is able? Oh, I've got all the faith in the world. Well, show me your faith without works corresponding actions, Paul said. James said, the book of James said, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'll tell you, we need a change of attitude. We need a change. Praise God. We need a hunger. We need a thirst. We need to get up and move. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to go over and possess the land that the Lord has given us. Has. Past tense. Give up on healing. A whole segment of Christianity are cessationist. They believe there are no miracles today. And yet they're praying for God to meet the need for their new building. They don't believe God will heal your body anymore, but they'll build that brick and mortar building. He'll put in the stained glass and put the highest steeple in town on it. He's not at all interested in the temple where his spirit indwells. But boy, wait till they get a look at that building. And then they teach on prayer. And don't believe God does any miracles. You know what a miracle is in Webster's dictionary? One of the short answers. A supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. That means God broke through and God did something to alter the normal course of things. We're about to go over the cliff. We cried out to God. The brakes were out and we stopped just short of going over. Oh, hallelujah. Heard the guy that brought a quarter horse from another guy. The guy he bought it from was a devout Christian. He sold it to a Christian guy. He said, now this horse don't understand what, you know, giddy up and stop or halt or whatever he says. He says, when I want him to go, I say, thank you, Jesus. And when I want him to stop, I say, hallelujah. Got on the horse, had a rider that had never ridden him before. The horse took off like a bat out of West Tampa. Anyway, moving right along. I don't know where you live, but anyway. And he runs toward a cliff, and the guy's hollering, stop, whoa, whoa, whoa. And he finally remembers, that guy said, he doesn't respond to whoa like normal horses. He responds to hallelujah. They got right to the edge of the cliff, and he says, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the horse just stops. As soon as the horse stopped, he said, thank you, Jesus. through faith, we understand. Try it any other way, and you won't get it. Try to live it any other way, you can't live it. Can you say amen? Read this Bible and see what God has purposed and promised without faith, and we begin to make excuses for God. We begin to preach away. You have to twist the scripture to do it. We have to preach away the miraculous, supernatural presence and power of God. Amen. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you down here orphanous. Can you say, man, the miracles aren't going to stop? The answers to prayer are not going to cease. Amen. I'm going to send you another comforter. Paraclete, one who acts in behalf of another, not only in behalf of us, but in behalf of Jesus and the Father who sent him. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to send you another comforter. He will be with you. He will be within you. And he will abide with you forever. If I don't go to the Father, the comforter shall not come. But I will send you another comforter. You know what that word also meant in the Greek? One just like me. How do you know that's biblical? Because the Bible said when he comes, he will testify of me. Can you say amen? He said, I'm not leaving you. And the way that I'm not going to leave you is he's going to mediate and manifest my presence in your life. And he's going to bring to your remembrance everything that I said to you. Can you say amen? He's the Spirit of truth, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. Woo! Wow! Glory to God. Oh, I wish I could inject you with enough faith to just believe something that God has said. The Bible said in Hebrews 11 that they obtained through faith, they obtained promises. What God promised, they obtained. They got it. It happened to them. And because they obtained promises, the next verse says, out of weakness they were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. I need it. Taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Waxed valiant in fight. Don't ever pull a knife on me. You call that a knife? That's a knife. No, I don't need this if I've got this. You don't take a knife to a gunfight. You got a knife? Yeah, come on. The Bible said part of your armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is what is designated, which is the Word of God. Sit at the house and watch your favorite TV program. Party Saturday night till you don't even feel like coming to church on Sunday morning. And when you get here, have your mind on leaving when you hit the door. You have no sword of the Spirit. And if you have no sword of the Spirit, since faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit, you have no shield of faith. You are indefensible against the enemy of your soul. But arm yourself with the Word of God and begin to use the faith that it creates inside of you. And you have a sword and a shield. Can you say amen? Decide that you're going to quit straddling the fence and get thoroughly right with God, and you'll put on something that guards your heart called the breastplate of righteousness. Can you say amen? That you might stand upon the Word and stand your ground. You put on the hobnail boot of the Roman soldier used as a spiritual analogy, and you let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, it's produced peace with God in you, and it's produced the peace of God within you, and you can show that peace to other people, that you have a peace the world can't give them. Can you say amen? Everybody that's on the fence today, you is a sorry sight. if the world's going to make you happy and sin's going to make you happy? What was that song by that pop singer? There's so many of them. U2, Bono. I've been all over the world. I've searched all over the world. And I still haven't found what I'm searching for. But you ain't going to find it sitting in a building called church. Sitting in a church won't make you a Christian any more than sitting in your garage will make you a Buick. Amen? It don't just happen. You have to come to know Jesus and you have to follow Christ to find happiness. Take my yoke upon you. You that labor and are heavy laden, you that are burdened all day long, all night long, Satan comes and says, sin will satisfy you. You ain't satisfied, you're out looking for more of it. I don't ever want them to make a pill that has everything I need. You know, science is working to that end. You take this one pill, you don't need pork chops. You don't need mashed potatoes. You don't need green peas with butter. You don't need cornbread. Yes, I do. Come on. It's not just getting it to here. It's enjoying it right here. What is it? Over the teeth and through the gums. Look out, stomach. Here it comes. Amen. I don't want to take a pill, Willie. I like pork chops too good. I want to chew it. Come on. You skinny thing. We all hate you. You probably eat more pork chops than... No, I mean we love you. You know what I'm saying. We're jealous of you. That girl can eat, can't she? You know she can eat. Them feet show it. Praise God. See, he's done carneling out over here. It's about time to quit. I got some buttermilk. I'm going to make me some cornbread. Collard greens, cornbread. You cook, don't you? You don't want to take no pill. You don't want to take no pill. We want to enjoy it, praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, church. You got to come, and I've got to come to a place. Fear would cancel me, conquer me. Corrupt me, absolutely defeat me. There's too many fearful things all over the place. If I didn't use my faith, praise God. If I didn't use, I went to a doctor. I never went back to him. I quit him. I quit him cold turkey. Oh, Brother Vimmer, aren't you afraid? Aren't you afraid? Oh, no. He's the one that is dealing in fear. Amen. God is the one that's dealing in faith. I'm not saying don't go to a doctor, but don't go to one that won't allow for your faith. He looked at my medical records and saw what I had been through physically, and I told him what God had done to deliver me, and he just looked away like, I don't want to hear anything about what God did for you. I thought, if you don't allow for my faith, you can never be my physician. Because I am not going to shift my trust from God to you. As if you and all of your medical knowledge can solve everything, because they simply cannot. But there's nothing impossible with God. And there's nothing impossible to him that believeth. And after I left that doctor's office, I came home and couldn't sleep that night. I had to take a pill for my... I've never done that in my life till I came back from the doctor. Because there's no room for faith in his office. And I didn't feel like I was dealing just with a doctor. I feel like the devil was defying me. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. But the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Praise God. I gave it to God and slept like a baby. Can you say, man, when I gave it to God, I slept like a baby. But until I gave it to God and used my faith to do it, I couldn't sleep because fear is real. The Latin word for fear came from when a wolf would attack a sheep in the field. and he would grab it by the throat, because he wasn't trying to bleed it to death initially by biting it all over. He knew if I clamp down on the throat of that sheep, it's not just the bleeding out. I'm going to strangle it to death. And I won't have to wait for it to bleed out. Because fear has a strangling effect. It'll strangle the joy out of your life. It'll strangle all of the enthusiasm. It'll take it all from you. Fear hath torment. The Greek word is penal imprisonment. It'll put you in jail and punish you and keep you in that prison. Amen. Listen to me. That's why it's so vitally. Oh, and I believe in a good doctor. My wife is now my physician. I haven't seen him. But anyway, he's my physician if I need the physical stuff. I don't discount that. Amen. I actually go to a gas pump to get gas in my car. And my faith hasn't got to the level that I just believe God to fill it up. And I don't consider lack of faith to go to the gas pump. It's not a lack of faith to go to a doctor. But make sure you've got a doctor that allows for your faith. Her doctor allows for faith. He's a nice guy. I like him. He believes that God can do things. Does do things. God is... And he knows that he don't know everything. And we knows that he don't know everything. But we know who does know everything. Can you say amen? So his word is not the last word on anything. This is the last word right here. Are you getting anything out of this today? Praise God. We're done because I can't go any further because I know you're getting tired and I'm tired preaching. And I made you hungry. Got you thinking about cornbread. Buttermilk, cornbread. You know what I want you to leave here with? Hungry. But hungry for the word of God. Hungry for the spirit of faith comes. And then when that faith comes, it's up to you and I to use it. To use it. All things are possible with God, and all things are possible to him that believes. Can you say amen? And believing is a verb. It's not a noun or an adjective. It's not descriptive of something. It's something you do, not something you know. It's something you're acting out and you're acting on. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I there's too many promises in my Bible for me not to begin to possess them. I got to say this, 2-3 minutes. There's a whole segment of preaching out there because promises are not being received. And now we're preaching that you can't expect to receive anything that God has promised. What they're saying is that God is not a promise keeper. Nobody knows what he's going to do because of his sovereignty. In that case, you don't even know if he's going to save you or not. His promise to honor the blood of Jesus, if he's that kind of God that you can't count on, amen, then listen, you're going to heaven because God promised to honor the blood of Jesus. And if God is a promise breaker and not a promise keeper, you could end up in hell in spite of the blood of Jesus, in spite of your faith. And the reason we know we're going to heaven is because of God's integrity. Can you say amen? Hath he not said it? And will he not do it? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited about God doing it. Woo! And for those of you that are here today that are used to sitting in church and not being challenged, you ought to thank God for this church. I'm glad you're here today being challenged. Because there are churches you can just fit in and no one's ever going to put a finger on your sin. Nobody's ever going to challenge you about unbelief. You can be comfortable on your way to hell, but you can't do it here. It's going to bug you. I love you, but the Holy Ghost is going to bug you. Can you say amen? And thank God for it, because somebody needs to bug us if we're on our way to eternity without God. And if you're not using your faith and it's got flabby and lazy, somebody needs to challenge you. Because your flesh and mine is basically lazy. I was talking with Ruth the other day, and she's considered one of our prayer warriors here that do battle in prayer. And she doesn't do it I found in conversation with her as a responsibility or duty when I talked to her about thanking her for being there and knowing when I ask somebody to pray that I know they're going to pray. I mean, they're not going to say a prayer. They're going to pray a prayer. My dad used to say, Bobby, would you say a little prayer for me? No, I won't, Dad. I don't say little prayers. There's nothing effectual and fervent about a little prayer. But I love Ruth's answer. Ruth, I love you for it. She said, I love to pray, Brother Venable. I love to pray. In other words, I got a passion for God and I love to talk to Him. I love to pray. Hallelujah. When you lose the love for prayer, the love for the Word, the love for worship, that's when we are in the desert. And I don't care how you flex your spiritual muscles or how many times you say, come tie my bow tie. Can you say amen? Without this drawing hunger and thirst for God, we're going to be dehydrated Christians in danger of dying in the desert. But as the heart pants after the water brooks, everything, listen, it takes top priority. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's kingdom becomes first and foremost. And He said, all this other stuff that you're looking for, it'll be added to you. Everything you need that pertains to life and godliness, God will take care of it as He fathers you. Well, I love Him today, and I love you guys. How many want to keep on this journey and keep being challenged and go over and possess the land in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you this question before we move on. Anyone here today without Jesus, you don't know the Lord. I'm not asking your church relationship, whether you've been baptized in water, how often you go to church, whether you read your Bible. I'm asking, do you know Christ as your Savior? If you died before you got home, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you would go to heaven? If you don't have that assurance, then you need it today. May I see your hand? Anyone in the building? Anyone in the building? Anyone in this room? How many people in this room then will say, Pastor Venable, I want to begin to use my faith. I want to begin to believe God again. You may be discouraged, disappointed, and disillusioned, but the Bible said, stir up the gift that's in you. Can you say amen? Only you can do that. I can't do it. Nobody else can do it for you. It's between you and God. But you desire that stirring. The Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to come. He's going to come. And He's going to work it out in your life. Amen. Just before we pray for that, would you come, brother? Let us pray for you today. All these things that we discussed before church, all these things that are pending, I told him this word without telling anything personal. I believe that he and his family are not just at this church at this time, but in this country because of God's divine will and appointment. I believe God sent them here. And on this journey, one of the great reasons is because there's churches in Trinidad, Tobago, how you pronounce? Tobago. Trinidad, there's churches, great churches, but there's something God wanted to do in your family. I believe that's why you're in the USA right here and right now. And I believe in a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think and all that we ask through Jesus Christ. And some of these circumstances that we hit in our life are designed by God Himself. He allows them that we might come to know Him and put our trust in Him. Because long term, eternity, where we spend it, is longer than this little trip called life down here. God is extremely interested, not in just where we live geographically on this planet, but where we're going to live physically and spiritually forever and forever. Heavenly Father, I pray for my dear friend today. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will bless him, bless his home. Let him see, hallelujah, that the power and glory of the name of Jesus holds power in heaven and earth and beneath the earth and in courtrooms and judiciaries and all of these areas where it looks like we are powerless in ourselves. But Father, we have an advocate with the Father, and his name is Jesus of Nazareth. Lord, bless this man. Bless him, Lord, to come to know you for himself, and bless his family and bless his future in the name of Jesus, and bless his children and bless his home and bless his marriage for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Cover him with the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus, and wash him, wash him, wash him from his sins in your blood in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. Hallelujah. And every demonic force that has claimed a place in his life, we command to loose him and to let him go. Spirit, mind, and body, soul. Hallelujah. Handanama Rosha Lababa Sarabakita Sondaba Rosha Laba Handadaba Rosha Labaku Selamanite Andadabasa Solabaka Sondarabata Salabara Shandaraba Roshala Handaraba. Let the blood claim him today. Let the blood of Jesus claim him today. Hallelujah. I plead that blood in his behalf. Hanamashola Baba, Salababa Hasanda, Kelaba Roshalaba, Undaraba Roshalaba. Hallelujah. Take away the fear and frustration and give him peace and love and joy. Hallelujah. 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 Handaraba Roshalaba Kasataya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. And his mercy endures forever and forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. You can leave when you're ready. Leave reverently. Hallelujah. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves today. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise for his great salvation. Hallelujah.